You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to this special Times Higher Education podcast covering the publication of the 2015 Asia University Rankings. I'm Chris Havergal and I'm joined by Phil Beatty, the THE Rankings editor, and Ellie Bothwell, our rankings reporter, who's been looking at some of the key trends in the rankings. Before we get to the results though, Phil, I was wondering if you could explain, why do we have a rankings for Asia?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Asia being the next global higher education superpower, and I think it's a really significant issue. The Asian universities in general are making great progress, certainly in places like China, Singapore. We're seeing some outstanding performances in Hong Kong. And the harsh reality is when you look at the world rankings, the domination of the traditional Western elite, the North American universities, the Western European universities, I think we are finding that Asia is crowded out a bit by the existing elite, but we're seeing great progress. The world rankings have only 24 Asian universities in the entire top 200. They are outstanding institutions, but I think there are far more universities in Asia that have the aspirations to be benchmarked against the kind of Times Higher's gold standard methodology, that are fully committed to internationalization. So this just allows us to give much more information on a much wider range of universities in a region that's really, really exciting, but using the trusted and tried and trusted methodology of the world rankings.
Sure, and can you tell us a little bit about that methodology? What are the sort of things that you're looking to measure?
So actually, for the Asia rankings, we're using exactly the same methodology as the overall world university rankings. There's a sense that this is actually about exposing a larger number of universities, giving more data to a larger number of institutions. But I think the benchmarks they're setting themselves in Asia are the global benchmarks. They are the world-class university standard that, you know, the likes of Harvard and Oxbridge have epitomized. So we're looking at 13 indicators. It's balanced right across the full range of a university's activity. We're looking at teaching, we're looking at knowledge transfer, we're looking at international outlook, but primarily we're looking at research. So research excellence in terms of impact and reputation.
So let me take you through some of the top performers in this year's Asia University rankings. There's no change in the top three. First is the University of Tokyo, second is the National University of Singapore, and in third place is the University of Hong Kong. Peking University rises one place from fifth to fourth, and Tsinghua University, also of China, that's up from sixth to fifth. There's one new entry in this year's top 10, which is Singapore's Nanyang Technological University, that's moved up from 11th to 10th. So Ali, those are the top performers. You've been digging into the trends of the rankings a bit more. What have you pulled out?
Well, the big news is that China has overtaken Japan as the most represented nation in the list. China now has 21 universities featured, three more than last year, and Japan has 19, one fewer than last year. I mean, like you said, the University of Tokyo is still number one, but most of Japan's universities are also slipping down the list, whereas many of China's are rising. So it really does show that the balance of power has shifted towards China.
Sure. And what do we think of some of the sort of key issues that are driving that? Is that sort of the Chinese investment in this higher education sector really sort of going up in gear now?
Yeah, I think there's a real sense that Japan has dominated for many decades. It had a huge head start. I think in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, Japanese universities were very well funded. They were at the forefront of the sort of technology boom in Japan. They've been absolutely gold standard. But I think what we've seen really, as Japan's economy has stagnated, the investment in Japanese universities in recent years has really shrunk. I think Japanese universities have perhaps become a little complacent. There's not been the focus on internationalization that we've seen in other parts of Asia, with a real commitment to learn from the best of the West and to really sort of internationalize and create really strong global collaborations. I think what we're seeing here is China's more recent but extremely generous investment in universities in the last few decades, from the 90s onwards. So China's very, very powerful commitment to creating world-class universities, to earmarking a small number of universities for world global competition, and backing it with serious funding, putting a lot of effort in attracting, returning Chinese scholars, getting them back into China, giving them the terms and conditions they need to create strong research teams in China. it's starting to pay off. The reforms are paying off, the investment's paying off, and I think Japan has belatedly realised that it is losing this crown, the crown is slipping, and they have now initiated a campaign to internationalise more Japanese universities. So there's a, I can't remember what it's called now, it's the Global Super Universities campaign. There's actually a funding program in place, very similar to the Chinese initiatives around creating a top tier of elite institutions. The Japanese are doing something similar. They're very strongly keen to increase international faculty recruitment and to fund Japanese universities to forge much better and stronger international partnerships.
Sure. Well, it'll be interesting to see in future editions of the rankings whether that pays off. Just a quick word on another country which might look at its performance with concern, Taiwan. 11 top 100 universities this year, that's down from 13 last year and 17 the year before that. Is that the same problem as Japan? Is it about sort of underinvestment, complacency?
I think Taiwan's an interesting one because it's an extremely strong nation and it's been outstanding in these rankings for a long time. Sorry, we should mention we're actually out in a park outside the Times Higher Education's Bloomsbury offices here in London, and there's a lot of traffic. I hope it's not affecting the podcast too much, but it's a lovely sunny day here, although it's starting to get a bit overcast. Taiwan, I think it's more a question of they had a really strong quality drive from sort of the late 90s onwards. They had a big improvement program, lots of investment, quality assurance, and I think there's perhaps a slight sense that that has peaked a little and the universities are coasting a bit. But with these rankings, there is a strong sense that you have to run fast to stand still. So it's not that they're really declining, but I think what we're seeing is they're being crowded out by the rising stars of China. So we are seeing at the lower end of the rankings more Chinese universities creeping in. Of course, you've got very strong nations like Hong Kong, of course, again, a special administrative region of China, taking six of those top 100 places, Chinese universities increasing. It's more a question, I think, of having to run a bit faster, even just to stand still.
Sure. Okay. When we talk about sort of emerging superpowers, clearly in the broader economic terms, the talk is always about India. If you look at the sort of size of the population, the potential growth there, everyone can see sort of the potential in India. What about in terms of its universities? Is there similar sort of growth in quality being seen in our rankings this year?
I think my view on India is it's a really, really big disappointment. You know, for a country of its incredible intellectual history, a country of its incredible economic growth, it has huge potential, but it also has huge, huge challenges. Of course, last year we saw a dramatic increase in the number of Indian universities in the rankings because actually more Indian universities engaged with the rankings process. There was a big push to get Indian universities involved in global rankings, a real willingness for them to internationalize, to use global benchmarks, to accept global rankings. But this year we've seen a dip of one institution, so we have 9 Indian institutions in the top 100. And I think what we're seeing now actually is the fact that India just doesn't really have a clear, coherent policy to protect or strengthen its top institutions. Of course, it has massive challenges at the national level around meeting incredibly huge demand for student places. It's undergone huge, dramatic expansion of student numbers. The sort of size of the increases that we almost can barely comprehend here in London. So it's undergone massive change, which puts pressure on the unit of resource, puts pressure on quality. But what we haven't seen is a coherent policy to protect and preserve those elite institutions, the IITs, the traditional strong Indian universities. And I do think it's a challenge. And it is about money, it is about investment, it's about national priorities. And I think we could see this as a missed opportunity for India. The universities are not competing as well as they should, and they do have great potential.
Sure. Okay, and just one final thing then. This is an Asia-wide ranking. It also includes the Middle East. There's universities from Iran, Israel, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia and Turkey represented in the rankings. I know that we're, at Times Higher Education, we're considering producing a ranking specifically for the Middle East and North Africa region, Phil, but perhaps this is an opportunity to see how some of the sort of huge investments that have been made in the Gulf, how that does compare against some sort of longer established universities, but not the sort of leading players of Europe and North America. How do they fare this year?
I mean, I think in a general context, we should be really clear. And I think this ranking is the entire continent of Asia. And I think going forward, we probably should be more subtle around our geographical differentiation. So we are looking at a Middle East ranking. We're probably going to publish that in February next year at our MENA summit in the United Arab Emirates. So we're going to start looking at more specific metrics for more specific university missions, more specific national or regional context. So I think we do need to recognise that the state of play in the Middle East is perhaps considerably different to the state of play in East Asia or certainly in Southeast Asia. But in terms of the results, I think, Ellie, you'd probably highlight Turkey, would you, as the star performer. It's done very well in this ranking.
Yeah, I think Turkey's sort of the strongest out of those in the Middle East. It's got six representatives this year, so one more than last year. And its universities are rising up as well. The Middle East Technical University has risen 17 places to 12th. So that's really amazing progress. So I think Turkey are definitely ones to watch.
Now, there's probably a controversial element to Turkey as well, actually, that they do particularly well on research impact. And I think there are some methodological issues around. They've done exceptionally well around some of their international research collaboration. So they've managed to get on the back of things like the particle physics discoveries at CERN in Geneva. So they've had a couple of really extremely helpful bits of published research that's probably boosted that particular aspect. But they have also put serious money behind their research infrastructure and their research funding. So, you know, Turkey's perhaps benefited from the methodology, but is also still in a really exciting place.
Sure. Well, it shows the full diversity of the universities in the Asia Rankings 2015. But you can find the full 100 in the supplement distributed with Times Higher Education magazine. And, of course, all the information is online at thewur.com, WUR for World University Rankings, of course. You can join the debate about the rankings on Twitter. We're at THE World Uni Rank, and also on Facebook. Of course, you can also find the usual THE channels on LinkedIn and on Weibo too. And that's all for this Times Higher Education podcast.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.